Well, let's open up in prayer first. Please join me. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given to us to gather together this evening and to read from your word and to study it, Lord. We ask that you would send your spirit to be with us, to give us wisdom, give us understanding, help us to write the things that we learn on our heart, Lord, to take them, to hear your words, to bring them with us throughout the rest of this week, and to spread them to others. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, we're coming to the end of Ephesians 4. And if you zoom in a little bit, we're coming to the end of the second half of Ephesians 4. So far, that second half has mostly been concerning the new life that we have in Christ. And if you go out on the street and you ask someone to describe their life to you or the life of another person, you might get a weird look. But if they answer you, they would probably describe who they are and the things that they do. And these things are really intimately tied to each other. Who you are intimately influences the kind of things that you do. And that's what we've seen in this section so far. The first half of the section sort of presents a dichotomy to us, and then our place within that dichotomy of the old self and the new self, who we were and then who we become in Christ. The second half of that, which is where we find ourselves today with Ephesians 4 verse 30, is the reaction to that reality. So if we understand the transformation we've had from our old self to our new self, how do we respond to that? And how do our actions change in response to that? So I'm going to begin by going through the context, and then we'll actually read our verse and get into it. So in the first section, with the old to new dichotomy, we learn a couple things about what it is to be the old self and what it is to be in the new self. Things like walking in the vanity of the mind, as we heard a couple months back, many months back actually, versus being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Things like being alienated from God via ignorance and blindness, to being newly created in God's likeness, right? So we are being gradually conformed to the image of Christ. And in terms of our reaction to that, we find that we need to be having holy thoughts, hearing holy speech, and giving no place to the devil and turning from sin. And it's in this reaction that we find our verse for today. This is Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. As we get towards the latter verses, verses 30 to 32, or around there, we're starting to really encapsulate what it means to have the appropriate reaction to the transformation that God and the Spirit has wrought in us. And in order to understand what this verse is saying, we really need to understand the different parts of it. So what does it mean to grieve the Spirit, and what does it mean to be sealed by the Spirit? To look at grieving the Spirit, we can actually go back to Isaiah, specifically Isaiah 63, verse 10. This chapter of Isaiah is actually talking about the mercy of God. But in order to understand the mercy of God, you need to understand why that mercy is necessary in the first place, which is clearly seen in verse 10. Isaiah 63, verse 10 says, "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them." In the opening of the second section in Ephesians verse 4, the section that we're in right now, it also starts with a therefore. When you see a therefore, it is saying, okay, this information that you were given previously, this is something that logically follows from it. This is something that naturally follows from it. So when they, it's talking about Israel here, rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, therefore, this is the response to grieving the Holy Spirit, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. In this verse, we can see what the conduct of an unredeemed people is that they're in open rebellion against God, that they are grieving the Spirit, and that they are struggling against God. We see that they have enmity between themselves and God, and that God is in fact fighting against them as well. So this is not merely one way, but they have become truly enemies of God. On the other hand, if we consider to be sealed by the Spirit, what that means, we can look at Romans chapter 8, verse 23, where it says, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." So as it says, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, we wait eagerly for adoption. We've been given the Spirit as a guarantee as well. When it says that the Spirit seals us, well, what is a seal? A seal is a sign, It's an indicator. It's something that you see that tells you something about the thing which has been sealed. When Christ ascended, he sent the Spirit to be with us, and the Spirit dwells within us as those who are reborn in Christ. This is the seal by which we are known not only to others, but to ourselves. It is the assurance of faith that we have that the Spirit is within us and is working within us. So we walk by faith, and we make it our aim to please him, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. So to grieve the Spirit is to be at enmity with God, but to be sealed by the Spirit is to be purchased by God, to belong to God, to be identified with Christ. So what does it mean to be sealed by the Spirit and yet to be grieving the Spirit? Well, you get a clear picture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, where it says, "How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace?" That's very strong language that is being used in that verse. It's not saying that you disrespect the Son of God and the blood of the covenant, but that you have trampled underfoot the Son of God, and that you have profaned the blood of the covenant. You are profaning the thing which is actually sanctifying you, and that you have outraged the Spirit of grace. So if we go back into the context of this entire passage that we're looking at, within the light of which we understand what it means to grieve the Spirit and to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, we are looking at two different identities that we have, really. And we heard a little bit about identities in the sermon this morning. So how do you identify yourself? If you go out and you simply ask someone, many people will respond with their occupation, their political party. Some people might talk about spiritually what they believe. But the fact is that we have to look to the Bible. We have to look to God to understand how we are supposed to be identifying ourselves. So we can do that. And if you look at Ephesians 4, verse 28, I believe it is, in the first six words, we get a picture of how we should be identifying ourselves, even as it's talking about what our reaction to our new identity should be. And it says, "Let the thief no longer steal." So how is the old self identified? The old self is identified by sin. If you go out and you ask someone who is not living in Christ how they identify themselves, whether they know it or not, the correct answer is, "I'm a sinner." So what does this mean for us, for the new life? Well, with the new life, the answer is syntactically similar, but in substance, it's almost 180 degrees turned around. And the answer is that we are sinners who have been saved. And this is exactly what we need to do with our sin. We have to completely turn around. We have to struggle against that sin, not struggle against God and make ourselves enemies of God, but struggle against our sin and be putting our sin to death, to be putting the old self to death as we are called to, and to rise every day, every morning, and take up our cross and be gradually conformed to the image of the Son, as we have been promised will happen. So when we understand these things, we understand a little bit about what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. To grieve the Holy Spirit is to be sealed by the Spirit, to be identified with Christ, and be identified with the new life that we have in him, but to be clinging to our identity in sin, to be clinging to another identity that we should no longer be associated with. If we are not grieved by our own sins, then we are grieving the Spirit. We put all these things together, and we understand that while we may sin, by the grace of God, we can struggle against this. When we are not struggling against our sin, we are struggling against God. Will you please pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the words that you give to us, for understanding, and for clarity. And we thank you for all the things that you teach us. We pray that you would help us to keep them, to meditate on them, and do as you have called us to do, and to meditate on your word from the time we rise to the time we lay down. We pray that you would help us to carry these things with us as we go forward through the rest of this week. And in the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.